Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
The shepherd's mantra to you and I is about every single thing in your life. I got this. I got it. I'm your shepherd. I got this. Did you believe that though? You see, do you really believe that? Oh, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? How's this gonna work? What is gonna happen? He says, I got this. You see, I got this. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't want. What would I want? Oh, the economy's sagging. Well, I heard my shepherd say to me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this will be added to you. That's the shepherd.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
Over the past few months, I have continually sought the Lord for wisdom, insight, hope, and peace, but mostly for comfort. And as time wore on, I kept finding myself back at the exact same place in the Bible, looking for comfort. I spent more time looking and thinking about Psalm 23 than any time in my life. I've done a couple of devotionals on just individual verses in the psalm over these past months. But this morning, what I want to do is I want to look at the entire psalm and hopefully and be able to impart some comfort to those who are watching. I believe that the 23rd Psalm has some of the most comforting words ever written for the child of God. David wrote these words 3,000 years ago, and they have given comfort to millions and millions of Christians all through history, throughout the whole world. So I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. It's amazing what's there. The Lord is my shepherd. The word Lord is the word Yahweh. So whenever Jews or Hebrews would quote this, they never said Yahweh. They wouldn't speak the word. So they said Adonai, because they had such deep reverence and respect for Yahweh. Yahweh shows up in Exodus chapter 3, the burning bush, and he tells Moses, tell them that I am has sent you, which is Yahweh. It's the personal covenant-keeping name of God. Many Hebrew rabbis said the thoughts about the term Yahweh are so deep and so overwhelming that they're too deep for us to even begin to understand. But I think thinking of Yahweh expands the mind, it humbles your heart, and it strengthens your soul. He is Yahweh, the self-existent one. All life in the universe is derived from somewhere else, but not his. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:17, he said, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone is wise, be honor, glory, forever and ever. Amen. That's Yahweh. He says the Lord is, not was, is, because Yahweh always is. He never was and never will be. He always is. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. This awe-inspiring, overwhelming creator of all things is my and your shepherd. What a thought. That implies, by the way, that we're sheep. And you hear that over and over again in the entire Word of God. We're sheep. The word sheep's used 698 times in the Bible. Sheep. That's what we are. And there are innumerable sheep in the Bible. The Jews seized 650,000 sheep from the Midianites. That's a lot of sheep. Solomon, at one sacrifice, offered 120,000 sheep. In fact, Josephus says that the average is about 300 sheep a year were killed in Jerusalem. 300,000 sheep. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He didn't say the Lord is the shepherd. He didn't even say what Jesus said, the Lord is a good shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. We can all say that. There are 28 personal pronouns in these six verses. It's me and you. That's what he's talking about. It's me and you, Lord. He uses these over and over again. What's interesting is the word in Hebrew for friend is rooted in the Hebrew word for shepherd. That's what the shepherd is. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus talks about true shepherds and false shepherds. You see, sheep have a desperate need for shepherds. For sheep, everything has to be right to be right. Everything. There can't be any predators about. There can't be any tension at all in the flock. There can't be any bugs in the air. They can't have any hunger in their belly. Everything has to be just so for sheep to be content. Unfortunately, sheep can't find safe pasture. They can't spray insecticide. They can't deal with their frictions. They can't find food for themselves. They need help. They need a shepherd to lead them. And without a shepherd, neither can we. That's why these words are so poignant. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because the Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd, the conclusion is I shall not want. I will not lack peace because he makes me lie down in green pastures. I will not lack peace. How many of us do, though? You see, if you're in turmoil right now and you don't have any peace, I'm telling you, you're not relating to the Lord as your shepherd at all. That's not really happening. I will not lack provision. He leads me beside still waters. I will not lack hope or encouragement. This is the psalm going through it. Why? He restores my soul. I will not lack guidance. Why? For he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I will not lack deliverance in tough times. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? The Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack companionship. For you are with me. I will not lack protection. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I will not lack help and healing in all the events of life because you anoint my head with oil. I will not lack the abundant life because my cup overflows. I will not lack anything, for goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I will not lack an eternal heavenly home, for I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what this psalm is telling you. You will lack nothing because the Lord is your shepherd. There's nothing that I lack. All of our external needs are met. Food, clothing, provision, necessities, all met. All of our eternal needs are met. Salvation, heavenly home, all met. All of our internal needs to be loved, to have meaning, to purpose, and peace in our lives, all met. Because the Lord is my shepherd. It's an amazingly comforting psalm. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. A picture of provision. I don't have to do any of this. Just stay close to the shepherd. In John 10, Jesus said, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He said, and will go in and out, and he'll find pasture. Next verse, I've come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. Because the Lord's my shepherd. Don't miss this. He makes me lie down on green pastures. By the way, sheep don't ever eat lying down, ever, unless they're sick. Sheep eat on their fours. He said, no, not this, not us, not with this guy, not with the Lord as our shepherd. We lie down in green pastures. Now, it's rare for sheep, but here's what happens. If the shepherd can provide a good enough pasture in the morning, the sheep will overeat all that they possibly can. And just like cows, when after lunch, when it gets hot, they go into the shade, they lay down and they chew the cud. They re-chew what the Lord's provided for them. That's why they're lying in the pasture. They had such an abundance that they're able now to chew the cud. What a great picture that is. To me, it's a picture of what the Word of God means to me. You read the Word of God and you study the Word of God. But more importantly than that, you meditate on the Word of God. In other words, you chew the cud. In the shade, in the green pasture, I can lay down and just let the Word of God continually flow through me. He said, that's what happens with sheep. What a picture of peace this is. You see, the shepherd's mantra to you and I is about every single thing in your life. I got this. I got it. I'm your shepherd. I got this. Did you believe that, though? You see, do you really believe that? Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How's this going to work? What is going to happen? He says, I got this. You see, I got this. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't want. What would I want? Oh, the economy's sagging. Well, I heard my shepherd say to me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this will be added to you. That's the shepherd. What do you want? You see, the Lord is my shepherd. He not only says he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside quiet waters. Sheep hate fast-moving water. And they won't drink from it. It scares them. So they like it when it's quiet, when it's still, as the King James says. What a picture that is of contentment. Think of the image. Sheep are laying in the afternoon in the pasture. They never lay. They're re-chewing the cud. And there's a perfect spring of water for them to get a drink when they want. The provision, the peace, the contentment of God, all because of the shepherd. He did all the work. And he said, I'll do it all for you. It says then, he restores my soul. Wow, that's a wonderful thing, because our souls often need restoring, don't they? The reason is, sheep need to be restored because there are things called cast, C-A-S-T, sheep. They're cast sheep. What's that mean? They fell down and they can't get up. Especially in the summertime when sheep have a lot of wool, if they fall down on their side and roll to their back, they can't get up. They're called cast down. By the way, we still have that in our language. Why are you cast down? That's from sheep. That cast down is a way they define sheep. And he says, I can't get up. There's nothing I can do. He says, no. He says, notice, he restores it, my soul. Psalm 40, I'll come back to this, but look at Psalm 40 with me for just a moment, verses 1 and 3. 1 through 3. David writing again. He's the shepherd, remember that. This guy knows what he's talking about when it comes to shepherd and sheep. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. You ever do that? I have. In this analogy, it sounds like this. I've fallen. I can't get up. I can't. He said, that's okay. He said, he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footstep firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and I would trust in the Lord. He just rolled me over, picked me up, and set me on the rock. I got you. He restores our soul. Back to the psalm. He says after that, he said, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's the reputation of the shepherd. How do you know a good shepherd from a bad shepherd? Where he takes his flock to feed. Where they get water. He has to know. If he doesn't, the sheep are in deep trouble. An expert shepherd knows this. See, David is talking about something in this psalm that many of us don't know anything about. He's talking about a full cycle of a year for a shepherd. The shepherd starts out in the winter and usually around Bethlehem. Remember, the sheep are in Bethlehem because of winter around Christmas time. We talk about that. And then they start moving and they stay in southern Judah through the early spring because there's a lot of good pasture. Then it starts wearing out. And so they moved to Samaria and Galilee through the early summer months. And then when summer really hits, they have to move from there up into the elevation. They have to get into the high country. All the way past Hebron, they have to go up and feed them in the high country and new pastures. And then when the summer ends and the fall comes, they start the migration back down and end up back in Bethlehem. That's what David's talking about here. He's talking about that whole migration. The shepherd has to be the expert. You know, God knows this. Think of this. How did God, think of men like Abraham, Moses, and David. They were shepherds. These are three of the greatest names in the Word of God. And even Moses, trained as an Egyptian prince, God says, you're not ready to lead. If you want to learn how to lead, tend the flocks in Midian for 40 years. Now you'll know how to lead. That's why David was such a great leader, because he was such a great shepherd. A shepherd has to have foresight, the ability to anticipate the weather patterns and the cycle of the seasons. A shepherd has to have advanced planning, knowing the routes and destinations and how to access them. A shepherd has to have geographical skills. He has to know, have a sense of direction, a knowledge of the terrain, an awareness of the dangerous areas, and a need for the sources of water. A shepherd has to have stamina to withstand the strain of responsibility and the loneliness and solitude of the job and the dangers in the wilderness. A shepherd has to have quality control. Not all pastures are equally desirable. A shepherd had to monitor, maintain, and improve the quality of their annual pasturing grounds. A shepherd has to have hard work. Pastures don't manage themselves. They have to be tended. Rocks have to be removed. Gopher holes filled. Underground and undergrowth cleared. A shepherd has to have motivation. It's not easy to get frightened sheep to follow you through a wild canyon or a dark valley. And a shepherd has to have emergency medical skills to handle all the injuries and illnesses of the sheep. That's what a shepherd has to have. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not one. It's all through the Bible, just said in different ways. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what? He'll direct your path. Why? I'm the shepherd. Stop that. Don't lean on your own understanding. Listen to my voice. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. But I often wonder in times like this, do we hear it or not? He said, the Lord directs the steps of the godly in Psalm 37. He delights in every detail of their lives. Isaiah 48, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is good for you and leads you along the paths that you should follow. Psalm 32, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. That's our shepherd. Psalm 48, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. In Isaiah 58, the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength when you need it. God says, that's why I do that. Why does he do all that? Because he's our shepherd. It's an amazing thing. Now, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. You know what that implies because he uses the term valley of death? All valleys. This applies to every valley. The last valley, the most difficult to us, the scariest for us, is the valley of the shadow of death. That's the scary one. But he says that all of us go through valleys all the time. In fact, many of us in our country right now are in a valley. He goes, yeah, this applies in every sense. The pandemic, the economy, broken relationships, it's always the valley. Key word there, even though I walk, and the next word, through. Got to go through it. Doesn't take you around. Now remember, when they're going from the lower plain up to the mountain areas for the pasture, understand something about this. They've got to go through these wadis or these valleys. It is loaded with predators. And the sheep are an easy target. I mean, you get something, I read that you get something like a pack of wolves and they hit sheep, they'll kill innumerable sheep. And they'll only eat their internal organs and leave them. They'd rather eat the best part of the sheep and kill a bunch of them than to kill one sheep and eat all of it. Sheep are really timid and they're fearful. So for them, it is a valley of the shadow of death. He goes, but I'm not afraid. Why? Shepherd's with me.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all of this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.